Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, September 24th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
China moves to ease trade tensions with waivers for U.S. soybean purchases.
The U.K. Supreme Court rules on Boris Johnson's move to suspend Parliament.
Facebook makes an acquisition to bolster its virtual reality ambitions.
President Trump denies tying Ukraine military aid to the Biden probe. Plus, President Trump goes before the U.N. General Assembly today. I'm Michael Bond. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets lost to the Marlins. NFL, the Bears beat the Redskins, and the Giants learned Saquon Barkley's injury will keep him out 4 to 8 weeks.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Portfolio Analyst, powered by Interactive Brokers. Savvy investors use Portfolio Analyst to create a consolidated view of their finances and check the health of their complete financial portfolio. Download for free at ibkr.com/PA.
And U.S. futures following European stocks higher today, 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 85, NASDAQ futures up 30. DAX in Germany is up 0.2%, CAC in Paris up 0.3%, and the FTSE 100 little changed. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 1.71%, yield on the 2-year 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil down 1% or 56 cents at $58.08 a barrel, and COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.10 at $15.28.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0999 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We begin in the UK, where the country's Supreme Court has ruled Prime Minister Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament was unlawful. Bloomberg Daybreak Europe anchor Roger Hearing joins us live from London with the very latest. Unprecedented times, Roger.
Indeed. Good morning, Nathan and Karen. This is a devastating judgment for Boris Johnson. His action in suspending Parliament has now been condemned as unlawful by the highest court in the land. And in language that makes it clear, the 11 justices unanimously found he had attempted to override the position of Parliament without justification. They handed over the matter now to MPs, saying that the suspension was null and void, in their words. What is more damaging to Johnson is that he involved the Queen in a measure that was ruled illegal. No previous PM would be able to survive in office after that. But these are not normal times. However, if Parliament reassembles now in vengeful mood, it will make Boris Johnson's path to Brexit even harder. Live in London, I'm Roger Hearing, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. We turn from Brexit to trade now with another sign of easing tensions in the trade war. Bloomberg News has learned that China's granting new waivers for companies to purchase U.S. soybeans without tariffs. We get the details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The companies are said to have received waivers on tariffs for 2 to 3 million tons of American soy. Sources say some firms have already bought at least 20 cargoes. That's about 1.2 million tons of soybeans from the Pacific Northwest. Among the companies are state-owned buyers COFCO and Sinograin, as well as five other crushers. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. And as the trade war bites, China's in no rush to add massive monetary stimulus. That's according to Central Bank Governor Yi Gong, who says the PBOC must maintain a prudent policy stance. Eric Norland is senior economist at CME Group.
They've not really explored the possibility of cutting interest rates too much in the last few years. They have a lot of latitude to ease interest rate policy if they want to. The other thing China can do, and has already been doing, of course, is to allow the currency to fall to lower and lower levels. Wouldn't it surprise me to see them let the currency slide a bit further, which boosts their competitiveness with exports.
And checking China's currency now, the offshore yuan is trading at 7.1023.
Meanwhile, stocks in Asia finished the day slightly higher. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. Japan's TOPIX index rose 0.4% as traders returned from the long weekend. Chinese stocks rose in the on and offshore currencies strengthened. Stocks in Hong Kong gained for the first time in seven sessions, while Indian stocks were a little less volatile after a record 2.2 billion shares changed hands during Friday and Monday sessions. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Back here in the U.S., we're hearing from several Federal Reserve officials with more on the way. Bloomberg's Patrice Sikora reports.
St. Louis Fed President James Bullard thinks more interest rate cuts may be needed. San Francisco Chief Mary Daly says she backed the central bank's most recent cut and that monetary policy can and should offset the drag from trade headwinds. New York President John Williams thinks recent volatility in money markets raises questions about bank reserve levels, while former New York boss Bill Dudley tells us the turmoil could lead the Fed to increase their balance sheet.
There was always going to be a point where the reserve supply shrank to the point that we would see upward pressure on short-term rates. And when we reached that point, the Fed would know, what do they need to do? They need to add more reserves to the system. And that's what we saw over the past week.
In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Dudley says Fed officials will likely consider a new tool to contain short-term interest rates. Coming up this week, we get remarks from nine more policymakers, including Vice Chairman Richard Clarida. Patrice Sikora, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Patrice, thank you. Turning to corporate news now, Facebook is making an acquisition. Sources tell us the social network has agreed to buy CTRL Labs for somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion. The move would give Facebook a company building software to let people control digital avatars with their minds. Kurt Wagner explains from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
The idea is that you wear this bracelet on your wrist that detects the neurons in your body sent from your brain to tell your body to move, your muscles to move, your hand to open. And what it does is when it detects that, it actually translates that onto a computer screen. So if you're thinking about opening your hand, the digital version of your hand on the screen might actually open, even if you aren't physically doing it in real life.
And shares of Facebook up 0.5% in early trading.
As the board of WeWork considers removing Adam Neumann as CEO, it could be a while before we get an official decision. That's according to Gene Munster, founder and managing partner at Loop Ventures.
This is probably going to take a good year or so to sort itself out. That may sound like it's slightly out of touch with reality, but I do not think he will survive as CEO. I think he will be some sort of executive chairman. But ultimately, getting an organization like this in high growth mode to align with some more scrupulous public investors is a most difficult agenda.
WeWork's board's expected to discuss removing Adam Neumann as soon as this week. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out more of what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. President Donald Trump ordered his staff to freeze nearly $400 million in aid to Ukraine a few days before a phone call to that country's president to investigate the family of Joe Biden. That's according to a person familiar with the matter, Bloomberg National Security Editor Bill Ferris.
Well, it's certainly possible that, you know, we know he did have a call with Ukraine's leadership and could have discussed the issue of corruption. That's been a longstanding issue with Ukraine that goes back to the Obama administration, in fact. There's been a lot of concern about where Western support for Ukraine really ends up. That's very different than then talking to the president of the country and saying, is there any way you could, you know, investigate one of my biggest political opponents here? That's really the crux of the issue. That's what has people on the Democratic side saying, let's see a transcript of that call.
The new revelation comes as more Democrats move toward impeachment proceedings. Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, an early proponent of impeaching the president, attended a pro-impeachment rally held by the youth-led group By the People on Capitol Hill.
We have a situation that is hurting our democracy, that's jeopardizing, really, I think, our way forward in our country.
President Trump has denied saying anything inappropriate during the July 25th conversation with the president of Ukraine that triggered a whistleblower complaint. President Trump said he is not ruling out a meeting with Iran during the UN General Assembly, though no meeting has been scheduled. During a bilateral meeting with Egyptian President al-Sisi, President Trump said Iran may be open to a meeting and dismissed the idea of French President Emmanuel Macron mediating between Washington and Tehran.
Iran wants to do something, and I don't think we need a mediator. He's a friend of mine, but we're not looking for any mediators. They know who to call.
Trump goes before the UN General Assembly today. The Trump Organization has given thousands of pages of documents to New York State prosecutors probing whether the company falsified business records related to hush money payments made to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. A 6.0 magnitude earthquake shook the island of Puerto Rico late last night. So far, there are no reports of damage or injuries. Meanwhile, forecasters say a tropical depression will unleash heavy rains across the northeastern Caribbean today that could cause flooding and landslides in Puerto Rico and nearby islands. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
Nathan, most surprising about that giant comeback Sunday at Tampa Bay from down 18 at the half was that they did it without Saquon Barkley, last seen hopping off the field in Tampa. The Giants admitted yesterday Barkley's high ankle sprain will keep him out at least 1 month and maybe as long as two, a devastating blow to be without their best player. But off that first win, the Giants are favored to get another one this Sunday. They host Washington. The Redskins are 0-3. Last night, a lopsided home loss to Chicago. The Bears led 28-0, went on to win 31-15. They forced five Washington turnovers. As for the still winless Jets, they are off this week, and they hope maybe Sam Darnold can return from mono after that. The Jets have looked lost without their quarterback.
It's disappointing that I'm not able to go out there and help the team as much as I can, you know, but it is what it is, and it sucks watching too from the couch, but the things that we need to fix are just little things, and we can get them fixed. It's just about staying the course and continuing trying to do things right, and it starts in practice.
Three games after the bye are tough ones. Eagles, Cowboys, and Patriots. At Citi Field, Mets lost to the Marlins 8-4. Jorge Alfaro, two home runs, including a grand slam off Steven Matz, who gave up six runs and fell to 10-10. And the Mets' official elimination from playoff contention could come as early as tonight. Milwaukee seized that second NL wild card by winning 15 of 17. Yankees tonight at Tampa Bay. Rays involved in the one pennant race that remains, the AL wild card. The Rays won last night. They are a half game ahead of Cleveland. The regular season ends on Sunday. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
And John, this red headline crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Prosecutors have charged the CEO and chairman of Volkswagen over market manipulation. Shares of VW are down 2%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are advancing with U.S. stock index futures, while Asian shares are rising modestly as investors wait hopes for high-level trade talks next month between U.S. and China against mixed economic data from around the globe. The pound is rising as the U.K. Supreme Court said Prime Minister Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament was unlawful. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 71. NASDAQ futures up 25. And this update is brought to you by IBKR and CME Group. The new micro e-mini futures contracts are available at IBKR at the lowest commissions. Learn more at IBKR.com/CME Mini. DAX in Germany is little change this morning. So is the FTSE 100, while the CAC in Paris is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 5/32nds, yield 1.70%. The yield on the 2-year, 1.67%. NYMEX crude oil down 1.1% or 63 cents at $58.02 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2% or $3.10 at $15.28.40 an ounce. The euro 1.0994 against the dollar. British pound 1.2440 and the yen at 107.73. And prosecutors have charged the chief executive of VW with misleading markets. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump goes before the UN General Assembly today. World leaders are grappling with several issues, including climate change, regional conflicts, and a potential dispute in the Middle East. President Trump ordered his acting chief of staff to delay sending $400 million in military aid to Ukraine at least a week before he spoke to that country's president. That's according to a person familiar with the matter. Trump's July 25th telephone call with the new Ukrainian president is the subject of a congressional investigation and is part of a whistleblower complaint. In Monday Night Football, the Bears down the Redskins 31-15. In baseball, the Mets' chances to make the playoffs got slimmer. They lost to the Marlins Marlins. The Red Sox and Orioles also lost. The Nationals won. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's just before 6:20 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty. Certainly saw a certainty this morning from the UK Supreme Court when it comes to Boris Johnson's suspension of Parliament, unanimously deciding it was unlawful. But certainty when it comes to Brexit might not be the best word to describe it. For more, let's bring in Richard Jones, FX and rate strategist on the Bloomberg Markets Live team. Good morning, Richard. Seeing some gains for gilts, and the British pound is strengthening just a touch this morning following that decision. Do you expect that to last?
Well, it's hard to see it lasting, actually, Nathan. I mean, when the result first came out, we had a little pop higher in the pound. Against the dollar, it was trading up around just under 125, and it's given up most of those gains now and is now trading little changed on the day. And it's actually, we were trading just under 126 last week, so we're about a 1% weaker than we were I think it was Thursday or Friday last week. So traders aren't convinced that this Supreme Court ruling will give us any kind of certainty in terms of Brexit, in terms of what's happening in UK politics. I mean, the big questions is, Brexit going to be delayed? Does this lead to an early election? And if there is an early election, when is that going to happen? Those questions haven't been answered, and they linger on. And the problem is, for anybody who's looking for any sterling upside, is that the clock is still ticking. And then if nothing else happens between now and the 31st of October, the UK leaves the European Union without a deal.
Tell me if you think this is sort of the way things could go. I mean, it seems as though there could be several catalysts for markets, whether it's early elections, whether it's Boris Johnson either deciding to stay in office or deciding to resign, whether Brexit happens on time or is delayed. I mean, what kind of volatility are we looking for here?
Well, if you had to answer just one of those questions, Nathan, it would lead to volatility. But the fact that you have all of those questions needing to be answered virtually concurrently, it means that we're going to have a lot of volatility in the coming months. And the nature of political risk for markets is that it's very unpredictable. And so it's hard for investors to actually get their arms around it, because things just come out of the blue. And even this, I think, fairly definitive Supreme Court statement and ruling on what the government did, and found what the government did was unlawful, it still doesn't really give us the clarity that any investor would hope for with regards to what's going on in UK politics. And the big, obviously, overriding thing here is what happens with Brexit now? And we don't have any answers to that yet.
Looking at GP Go on cable, the range over the last year for the pound against the dollar has been somewhere between 120 and 134. It's trading at the 124 handle right now. What do you see pound breaking out of that range, given the volatility that we could see here?
Well, Nathan, I think if we do break out of that range, I think that the downside is in danger of breaking. It's going to be very, very difficult for the pound to get a lot of upward traction unless, and this is a huge unless, they come up with a deal that actually smooths the UK's departure from the EU, or if Brexit is rescinded, and I think the chances of that are very low. There's just so many moving parts here. They've been unable to get a deal passed since it was actually put on the table in the UK, gosh, about a year ago now. Mm-hmm. We don't have political clarity. It doesn't look like that's going to get any clearer anytime soon. So if it's going to break out of a range, I think it breaks through on the downside, which means that the pound will be trading lower.
And how much lower? I mean, what kind of levels do you think the pound could be testing against the dollar?
Well, I think we've had a low just below 120 earlier this month, so 119.60. That's probably your first port of call. But then going beyond that, I think that we're looking at something gosh, the lows in the 80s were about 105. I think somewhere between that 119 and 105 is where we sort of find a bottom, but that's still a long way away.
Richard Jones, FX rate strategist of the Bloomberg Markets Live team. The Brexit deadline not so long away. October 31st is when Boris Johnson has promised to break the UK out of the EU. Whether that holds, as he says, remains to be seen. And Bloomberg customers can get more from Richard and the rest of the Markets Live team. MLIV Go is the function on the Bloomberg terminal. This is Bloomberg. And Daybreak is brought to you by MBAF, CPAs and advisors dedicated to solving complex tax and accounting challenges, identifying opportunities, and helping businesses maximize profits. Learn more at MBAFCPA.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour, beginning with news out of Britain. The UK's top court has inflicted an unprecedented legal defeat on Prime Minister Boris Johnson, ruling his suspension of Parliament was unlawful. We get the very latest from Bloomberg's Guy Johnson in London.
The ruling has been that Parliament should return ASAP. Effectively, the prorogation never happened. The suspension never happened. Parliament is reopened for business. It is a stunning defeat for the government. There will be huge numbers of calls now for the Prime Minister to resign.
The unanimous decision is a boost for those seeking to prevent Johnson from leaving the EU without a deal next month.
Here in the U.S., futures are higher amid signs of easing tensions in the trade war. Bloomberg News has learned China is granting new waivers for companies to purchase U.S. soybeans without tariffs. More from Bloomberg's Zenda Curran in Hong Kong.
There is a feeling among economists that these subset of issues around market access, IP, and purchasing farm goods can be resolved over coming weeks. And this gesture now by China to allow some state-owned buyers, including Costco and so on, to go and buy some soybeans in the U.S. kind of adds to that argument.
Sources say Chinese companies received waivers for between 2 and 3 million tons of soybeans.
Google has won a European court battle over the right to be forgotten. The EU Court of Justice has previously told Google to remove European links to websites that contain out-of-date or false information. This time, the French Privacy Authority was seeking to extend the rule globally, but the court says the ruling will only apply in Europe.
Facebook's making an acquisition. Sources tell us the social networks agreed to buy CTRL Labs. It's a company that's building software to let people control digital avatars with their minds. Kurt Wagner has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
We're reporting they paid more than $500 million for this company. And we've seen a bunch of other tech companies get into AR as well, the idea of Snapchat or Microsoft. I mean, this is a very fertile kind of technology here, this artificial intelligence and this augmented reality. And so it's no surprise that Facebook is investing pretty heavily here.
And shares of Facebook are up nearly 0.5% in early trading.
And Volkswagen shares down more than 2% in Germany after the company's CEO and chairman were both charged with market manipulation. Allegations say they failed to inform investors early enough about the diesel emission scandal. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 65. NASDAQ futures up 23. DAX in Germany, little change. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.70%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Members of Congress are paying attention to the running attacks from President Trump and former Vice President Biden regarding Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The president says investigation should not focus on his admitted conversation with the president of the Ukraine, but focus largely on the discredited allegations against Joe and Hunter Biden.
Biden did what they would like to have me do, except for one problem. I didn't do it. What Biden did is a disgrace. What his son did is a disgrace.
Meanwhile, Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani on Fox says he can't be 100% certain that the president didn't threaten Ukraine's president.
That was a false story.
100%.
Well, I can't tell you if it's 100%.
Because we know that the administration did delay U.S. aid to Ukraine.
Both Congress members Adam Schiff and Nancy Pelosi say this could move them steps closer to opening impeachment proceedings. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump goes before the U.N. General Assembly today. The president is praising British and French efforts to find a diplomatic solution and reduce tension between the U.S. and Iran. However, the president says the U.S. is not looking for any mediators. World leaders and chief executives of global corporations gathered at a UN summit yesterday to say that a 16-year-old climate activist from Sweden is right. They are failing. Greta Thunberg told a crowd of more than 300 presidents, prime ministers, CEOs, bankers, and delegates that they've let down her entire generation by not acting on climate change.
People are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you?
Meanwhile, China's Foreign Minister Wang Yi took a swipe at President Trump during the UN summit, saying the world will continue to fight global warming without him. An American soldier is in custody in connection with plotting a terror attack inside the U.S. The FBI says infantryman Jared William Smith allegedly planned on targeting a news network with a large vehicle full of bombs and named presidential candidate Beto O'Rourke as a potential target for assassination. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Steshon.
Nathan, the Mets surprisingly got back into the pennant race with that 15-1 stretch, but six straight home losses in late August meant they had a very small margin of error. They needed help, and the Milwaukee Brewers did not provide that help. They've won 15 of the last 17. So the NL wildcard game will almost certainly be Milwaukee against Washington. The Mets lost last night to the lowly Marlins, 8-4, a game where both teams had six-inning grand slams. Ahmed Rosario for the Mets, but that's all they got. And the Mets' elimination could come as early as tonight, and yet their manager, Mickey Callaway, still refusing to wave the white flag.
Backs are against the wall. I think this team has performed pretty well when their backs are against the wall, so we need to step it up. We need to make another run at it. Never give up. I think that that's all this team knows how to do.
Yankees off last night, started a two-game series tonight at Tampa Bay. Rays in a fight to make the AL wildcard game. The Yanks have their sights set on finishing with baseball's best record. A half game behind Houston. Astros played tonight in Seattle. Monday Night Football in Washington. Chicago won easily, 31-15. Bears led 28-0. Mitchell Trubisky had three touchdown passes, all in the second quarter, all to Tyler Gabriel. Case Keenum threw three interceptions, making you wonder if the 0-3 Redskins might bench Keenum when they visit the Giants Sunday, and that would make for a game between rookie quarterbacks Dwayne Haskins and Daniel Jones, top two QBs taken to the draft. But Washington coach Jay Gruden said last night he's not making that move. Sunday will be Jones' first home start. No Saquon Barkley. His high ankle sprain is going to keep him out at least 1 month, but more likely 2 months. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
Global meat consumption has doubled since the 1960s. That's mostly welcome news, evidence living standards are rising. But Americans still eat three times as much meat as the global average. They and other rich world diners should consider curbing their appetite. Consider this. The world's livestock emit more greenhouse gases than the entire aviation industry. From a climate change perspective, serving roast beef at dinner is as bad as driving 100 miles. Fortunately, small changes in diet can mean big gains for the climate. You could drive 70 fewer miles each week, or you could switch to the Mediterranean diet and have the same climate impact. Or you could join the Meatless Mondays movement. Forgoing one hamburger each week is like driving 1,000 miles less every year. Not everyone can or should go without meat. But if you live in a wealthy country with abundant protein, consider cutting back. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN.com.
go. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
It's a new policy aimed at stopping sparks from igniting dangerous wildfires that have plagued California in recent years. But a decision to simply shut off electricity to large areas of the state is creating some sparks of its own. Pacific Gas and Electric was forced to file for bankruptcy protection in January under crippling wildfire liabilities. Fallen power lines have ignited a series of catastrophic wildfires. With dry and windy conditions forecast through Wednesday, the utility started by cutting power to about 21,000 customers in three Northern California counties in the foothills of the Sierra Nevada. PG&E's Deanna Contreras says 124,000 customers could be affected if it gets too windy and dry this week.
We understand and appreciate how turning off the power affects people and may create hardships during a heightened fire risk.
Critics argue that shutting off the power every time it gets windy unfairly burdens vulnerable residents just so utilities can limit their liability. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, Bob, thanks. Let's take a look now at some of the most active stocks in early trading. Shares of Fiat Chrysler are down more than 1% after the company lost an EU court ruling on taxes. Judges threw out a challenge by Fiat over its fiscal arrangements in Luxembourg. Starbucks won its court battle over EU taxes. That appears to be giving hope to Apple investors when it comes to the iPhone makers' fight over taxes in the European Union. Shares of Apple up almost 1% in the pre-market. Snap is higher by nearly 3%. The company was upgraded at Guggenheim, which now has a target price of $22. That is the highest on the street. Those are some of the movers in the pre-market this morning. Bloomberg customers can check out the early equity action. Most U4 go is the function on the Bloomberg terminal. S&P futures higher by almost 8 points. Dow futures up 66. NASDAQ futures higher by 24 points. This is Bloomberg. And coming up, the Bloomberg Morning Call, brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are higher this morning. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher right now, with Dow futures up 74 points, S&P's gain 9, and NASDAQ futures climb by 28. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.7%. Gold is little changed, while European markets are trading mostly higher, led by gains in Italy and Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9 o'clock, the House Price Index, and at 10 o'clock, Richmond Fed and Consumer Confidence. After the bell last night in deal news, Facebook is said to pay $500 million to $1 billion for brain computing startup CTRL Labs. And regarding earnings this morning, look for AutoZone to report around 7 a.m. In other news, KeyBank said that the Netflix risk-reward going into Q3 looks challenging, and Lockheed Martin won a $4.6 billion contract. Wrapping things up, Wynn Resorts was upgraded to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thanks. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K, and that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in Britain, Labour Party leader Jeremy Corbyn has told his party conference that Prime Minister Boris Johnson should resign and become, quote, the shortest-serving Prime Minister there's ever been. He said today that Johnson's illegal suspension of Parliament shows his contempt for democracy and the rule of law. The Ukraine scandal centered on President Trump has some lawmakers saying that they would consider impeachment proceedings on the president if his administration fails to turn over a whistleblower complaint to the House Intelligence Committee concerning Ukraine. It comes as the president addresses the U.N. General Assembly today. Monday Night Football, the Bears down the Redskins 31-15. In baseball, the Mets' chances to make the playoffs are getting dimmer. They lost to the Marlins 8-4. The Red Sox and Orioles also lost. The Nationals won. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, Facebook envisions controlling computers with the mind. It is buying a startup that builds software to let people control a digital avatar with their thoughts via a bracelet. According to people familiar with the matter, Facebook is paying between $500 million and $1 billion, and Nathan may one day pair the technology with its augmented reality or virtual reality glasses.
Wow. We just keep getting closer and closer to the future. I mean, we're living in the future now. There's just no question about it.
The only computer that fits me is a Commodore 64. That's it.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that.
Yeah. I used to love those things. But anyway.
Used to?
Yeah. Global news. Touche. 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Well played. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
That's what I'm here for, Michael. Thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump preparing to address the U.N. General Assembly later this morning. We'll have full coverage here on Bloomberg Radio. The House Financial Services Committee on Capitol Hill holds an oversight hearing today on the Securities and Exchange Commission. And a government watchdog finds the Federal Aviation Administration misled Congress about safety inspectors for Boeing's grounded 737 MAX jet. Also making news this morning, reports President Trump ordered a delay in military aid to Ukraine at least a week before that phone call. For more, we're joined by Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. And the timing of this is significant, Kate.
It is for sure. I think that what we are hearing now is that Trump did have allegedly this conversation with the Ukrainian prime minister barely a week potentially after he ordered the aid to Ukraine to be delayed. And I think that the question now becomes whether or not Trump did either explicitly or implicitly in the phone conversation then, you know, if he's pressing for, as he did admit that he did discuss Biden in the call, and if he was pressing the Ukrainian president to pursue an investigation of Biden while the aid was being withheld, then that raises some questions about whether or not he was trying to use the aid as leverage. And Trump has denied that he did that, but I think it's increasing the calls for him to release a transcript of the phone call to prove that he didn't, in fact, do that or to see exactly what was said.
Not only calls for the release of that transcript, but first of all, is the president open to releasing the transcript? He's given some indications. What's the sense out there among people that you're talking to about whether he actually would do that?
I mean, this White House isn't particularly known for being for its transparency. And so I don't know that we should expect to see that transcript necessarily anytime soon. The president, I think, raised some eyebrows when he suggested over the weekend that he was open to the possibility of releasing the transcript. We then heard from some White House officials yesterday who appeared to walk that back and say that it would set a bad precedent to release that transcript. I think that, again, the likelihood of seeing it is probably pretty low, but it is interesting that Trump hasn't completely ruled that out. And certainly, you know, there could be steps that could be taken to try to compel the release of that transcript. And that would be a dynamic that I would be watching closely.
And what's also been interesting to watch, I would imagine, is the really quickly growing calls now among Democrats to pursue some form of impeachment proceeding over this issue in particular, perhaps even more so than the issues surrounding the Russia investigation.
Yeah, the Russia investigation, the thing is, it was always a bit, at least from a political standpoint, in order of, it was always a bit convoluted. And so I think this is a much easier kind of narrative to follow. And, you know, A leads to B leads to C. And so I think that that is one of the reasons why, for those Democrats that had been already saying that the party should move to impeach Trump, this is really getting them fired up on that front, because the sense is that this would be an easier kind of political narrative and easier dots to connect. And so I think that we are likely to not see the calls for impeachment and the renewed push for impeachment dissipate anytime soon. But, you know, the key question is still really where Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, and Gerald Nadler, the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, stand. We haven't heard strongly from them that they would actually like to take that route. And I think there's a real sensitivity out there to the idea that there could be a strong political backlash to Democrats pursuing impeachment of the president. And in some ways, it's still early days. We're still just finding out what actually went on in terms of this call. And so I think unless or until there's kind of a smoking gun, I wouldn't expect Democrats to move forward.
You say the narrative of the phone call may be interesting to follow, but we are seeing the president, you know, try to bring Joe Biden into the conversation by saying that the vice president himself did the things that he's accused of doing while he was vice president in terms of trying to pressure this Ukrainian prosecutor. Doesn't that sort of muddy things?
It does indeed, and this is a page straight out of the Trump playbook. This is how he responds often when he's under attack, is by going on offense and oftentimes accusing his opponent of doing something similar to or the very thing that he's accused of doing. And so I think that, again, we see all that on the Russia investigation where, you know, the Trump response was to turn the tables and say that it was a Democratic political witch hunt. And so I think that we're likely to see that approach continue. And I think for folks that don't, you know, watch every turn of the screw on this, at some point, the fear, I think, or the risk for Democrats is that it becomes a wash. People just look at it and say it's this political sniping back and forth and don't really take the time to sort of closely examine the substance and determine whether or not one side or the other is speaking more truth on the matter.
Only about 30 seconds left here. It seems like we keep getting something of a dramatic development on this story just about every day. What are you going to be looking for next?
Yeah, so I think, the next big pressure point could be, we don't really know exactly when things are going to happen. Trump is in New York, so that's something to clearly watch. And then we're also going to hear from the acting director of National Intelligence later this week on the Hill. And so I think those are two kind of areas to keep a close eye on.
Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thank you as always. You can read more from the nation's capital at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal and follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Just tune into Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Just before 6:56 now on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
When the Fed fixes repo markets, don't call it QE. I'm Brian Chapata, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Don't call it QE. With those four words, J.P. Morgan Chase summed up Wall Street's reaction to the week-long stress in funding markets and Fed Chair Jerome Powell's comments about how he and other policymakers would deal with it. At his press conference, Powell said it's certainly possible that we'll need to resume the organic growth of the balance sheet earlier than we thought. Naturally, hearing growth of the balance sheet sounds to some like a return to quantitative easing. The key difference is that organic growth comes about because of increased demand for the central bank's liabilities, namely Federal Reserve notes. The Fed is clear about how it needs to engage in open market operations to keep control of the Fed funds rate. Wall Street strategists appear intent to spread the word that QE is not lurking around the corner, providing a welcome assist to Powell. The Fed chair's communication record, after all, has been spotty at best. Still, even he wouldn't dare call any open market operations a return to QE. Markets shouldn't either. I'm Brian Chapata. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. And again, futures are higher this morning, watching the pound after the UK's top judges inflicted an unprecedented legal defeat on Prime Minister Boris Johnson, branding his controversial decision to suspend Parliament unlawful and calling on lawmakers to return to Parliament as soon as possible. Right now, the pound is at 1.2459 against the dollar. It is higher against the dollar. The euro, little change against the dollar at 1.0992. The yen this morning at 107.70. And again, S&P futures, they're up about 10 points. And straight ahead, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.